Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yontz, and I'm doing this solo, and I am talking to at the Wrestling DeLorean Podcast. You can find his podcast. We have a fascinating conversation about professional wrestling, and enjoy. It's fun.
Okay, I have a special guest with me, Mike DeNiro of Wrestling DeLorean Podcast. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. Glad to be here. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Let's just start with, I don't know if you watched what happened yesterday. What do you think? What do you think of the current state of what's going on?
It was very predictable. Very predictable show. I don't know. I don't know if the whole Lashley injury thing is legit. I think he may be injured. He may need shoulder surgery, but I don't know if he actually has a concussion. I saw that being reported that the concussion was more storyline to get him surgery for the shoulder. Man. I don't know. Like, I expected Brock to win.
But yeah, I did too.
Nowadays, it's like you have to expect Brock to win every time he's in the match. So I don't know. It was just very predictable. I did like Lita and Becky, though. That was probably my match of the night. I really enjoyed that matchup.
I agree. I thought the Lita-Becky match was really good. You know, I thought it was probably one of the best matches I've seen in WWE's women's division since probably, Sasha Banks's match with Belair.
Yeah.
Most of them have just been like,
it's been a little mediocre year for the women's division, but
absolutely,
definitely a good match. Really good story. Yeah.
So what do you is that it for Goldberg?
I believe so. I mean, I could see him coming in for like a one-off here and there, but I think this is it for the title match. He's always coming in for a title match, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is it. He's a free agent currently now, right? Like officially he's a free agent. I don't know if the WWE like brings them in for title matches, but you never know. It's like we've seen with the Royal Rumble, we see with this, the WWE's not really making new stars. So when they need another big, marquee attraction, I'm sure Goldberg will be called.
I don't think they want to lose Goldberg to AEW,
I don't think Goldberg will go to AEW, to be honest.
You don't think so?
But AEW when AEW first started, if you remember in 2019, Goldberg was a free agent and AEW actually reached out and he wasn't interested. So,
man, it's a good point. But now they have more money.
Yeah, so now it's different. Now it's different. I know Goldberg and Sting were close too back in the day. Sting's in AEW. So, I mean, anything could happen. Cody just left AEW. So, obviously, anything could happen. So, I don't know.
I know. I did not see that. I did not see that happening. Same. Do you think they're going to bury him?
I don't think so. I don't think Cody goes to the WWE unless he's guaranteed a spot. I don't know. I don't think he leaves his his secured spot with AEW to go into the unknown. And then, because I see a lot of people saying Stardust is coming back. Like, I doubt that. That's ridiculous to me. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't get it. To be honest, me personally, I don't get why, he would leave. It's got to be an ego thing, like losing power, losing creative power. It's got to be that. I see a lot of people saying that it was, the roster expanding and infighting with the EVPs, but still baffles me because here he had, a reality show. He was hosting the Go Big show. He was getting a lot of opportunities. It seemed like he was getting more opportunities than other guys in AEW. Only 3-time TNT champion. It just shocked me. I don't know. I see a lot of people also saying that this is a big swerve. He's going to come back. He's going to be a heel in AEW, but I don't think so.
I think he should have been a heel. To me, my problem with him is he reminds me a lot of Cena, where like it was time to turn heel. No, I'm not going to do it because I want to do charity work. And it's like, you can still do charity work. It's like, I didn't buy that excuse.
Not me either. But when Cody put in his statement about the whole outreach program and Amanda Huber taking over the outreach program, that's when I said, I don't think you would go that far if it was just a storyline. If this is going to be a swerve, like, why would you go that far and like talk about the outreach program and stuff? So I think he's officially gone. I just don't know, like, if he's going to WWE, I don't think that it will be a long extended run at the top if he is coming in for like a push. Yeah. I don't know if he stays at the top, because if you look at who's at the top now, you look at like Lashley, even McIntyre, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, McIntyre.
You don't really look at Cody at that level right now. Like
McIntyre is playing around with a sword. I mean, yeah. I did hate that.
That's annoying. Like, to be honest, they ruined that character. After he won the Royal Rumble like 2 years ago, it's like he went downhill from there.
It's just been like, I'm like, this guy was the world champion for a whole year. Like, he just feels like a guy now. He rushes back and he's a guy with a sword.
I thought he was going to be out for a while after the whole injury at day one. And then, but
no, he rushes back to play with a sword.
Yeah. But that was a nasty bump for Madcap yesterday. That was a nasty bump. That was scary.
I mean, the F5 off of the elimination chamber.
There was a lot of risky spots.
I mean, he basically just made the whole Raw roster look like just jokes. Roman's hair held this title for 500 days.
Yeah.
If he goes through Brock, what's next other than Dwayne Johnson, who we don't even know if he's actually going to do it? I mean, Cody? who gets this rub of beating the 500-day champion? There's nobody they built.
I wouldn't give it to Brock.
No, you wouldn't give it to Brock?
I wouldn't give it to Brock. I don't know. I could see, you know, Cody being a big feud for him, but I don't see Cody taking it.
No, there's nobody I see.
Nobody. He ran through everybody.
So that's why I'm like, might as well just be Brock just to like at least something.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's a big, big accomplishment for Brock to end that reign. And it's like Brock is winning everything now. It would just be a little too much for Brock. I think Roman wins. I see a lot of people saying that Braun Breaker, like keep the title on Roman until Braun Breaker gets called up. I think that's way too long if that's the case. But yeah. I don't know.
I'm just getting kind of tired of this, you know, 500 day. I'm like, all right, he's got to lose to somebody.
Yeah.
But my problem is also he's not fighting anybody believes is credible other than Brock Lesnar. So it's like when you see a Roman match, you're just like, okay, well, he's going to win.
I totally agree. Like early on in the title reign, I thought possibly Bryan Danielson might have won because his contract was coming up. Maybe, you know, like, give him like Edge. A link to sign on. I definitely thought Edge might have been, but like after he ran through Edge, Bryan Danielson, he ran through Strowman, Bray,
Cena. Looked like a joke.
Yeah.
Like, when they made that stipulation that said like if he loses, he was just like, oh, okay, great. He's not losing.
So yeah, I mean, at this point, I really don't know, and that's the problem though. The WWE's not making new stars. There's nobody on that roster who really could be a viable champion or at least a viable contender for the title.
No, it's boring. It's I feel like they really have. But Becky has taken a step backwards as a heel. I'm just like, nobody wants to boo her. Why are you doing this? You know that's a chance where you don't need to go heel.
Yeah,
I mean, Roman, it was the best thing that ever happened when he turned heel. I was like, oh wow, he's different. He gets it. What do you think of AEW?
I'm a big AEW fan, huge AEW fan.
Me too.
Right now, I do think that they're in a little bit of a downturn.
Yeah,
like I feel like after All Out last year and then the whole Grand Slam in New York City, like that was like their peak at the moment, and then since then, it just kind of seems missable at times. There's so much talent on that roster who doesn't get displayed. And I know they only have so much time, but if you look at some like storylines that are on, like for example, there's a lot of things that waste time on AEW. And I think that that's something that people don't really talk about. They have a lot of time wasters. So because they want to get to point B, point A is stretched out so long that they just need to stretch it out. They don't know like how to exactly do it. For example, the whole Darby Allin Andrade thing, it's like such a stupid storyline, but that match is going to be so good. Why can't we just like have like that match then? Like we don't need the whole, you know, I'm trying to take you away from Sting and come work for Artie and stupid shit. But I think that definitely it's a lot better than the WWE. Yeah,
absolutely.
AEW, it's just that they need to, you know, I feel like they just need to tighten the screws a little bit.
I think what they're missing is like that through line that keeps you just like going, I can't wait to see what happens next. I don't think they have that yet. Like they haven't had their Austin McMahon moment or the NWO moment that that is going to be like, I can't miss an episode. Like they kind of had that in the fall. Like you said, when Punk came in, when Bryan Danielson came in, it felt can't miss. And then it was like, I don't know. Then I felt they missed a point by not going with Bryan Danielson, Hangman Page 2 at Full Gear. I mean, I understand they wanted to get the title to Hangman, but I felt like that was a match everybody wanted to see. That was like the best match in AEW, that match they had at Grand Slam. And it was like, it was just like, no, we're not going to go back to that. It was like, yeah, but he never beat him.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, like I wanted to see that match again. And it was like, I don't know. I just feel like they're missing that one moment that just, you know, goes right into it, you know?
Yeah. I think another thing that AEW, they actually surprised me. What was it, 2 weeks ago when it was FTR, CM Punk, and John Moxley? That was a big surprise, but it was a great match. But if you notice, ever since AEW started, you know what matches are on the show. They announced all the matches before the show. That was the first time that they actually announced the match within the show. So you have to tune in to see what matches are on. It's like the unpredictability of what's going to happen, where I feel like their problem is they announced everything on the show. So if you say, hey, you know, these matches aren't the best this week, it's skippable this week, or I have something to do. Yeah. It's not like you don't go into it saying like, I wonder what's going to happen tonight. Cause you know, everything that's going to happen tonight, it's listed right there in front of you right before the show. So I think that they definitely need more like unpredictability and not to announce everything. I feel like they feel the need that they have to be transparent with the fans and just tell you what you're going to get if you show up to the show or if you're watching the show. Like fans want that genuine surprise, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but the juxtaposition of that is WWE, where you don't know anything. in the context of their show, it kind of makes no sense. So like if we actually thought of it like real, so they're in the back and they have like this, well, what's the main event? Well, we don't know yet. Some guys come out to fight, you know. Last question about AEW. Well, it's kind of AEW. Where do you think Bray Wyatt ends up?
See, that's interesting. At this point, I think that he ends up in AEW, but I don't think he ends up in AEW right away. Yeah, I think that he ends up in AEW, but more like towards the summertime.
Man,
I don't think it's going to be like right now. I know he's still shooting the movie that he was supposed to
be. Is he?
I believe they were doing like reshoots, I was reading. Okay. So he's still in it. I know pictures of him at a wedding just surfaced. But I definitely think he's going to be in AEW. I don't think that Impact Wrestling or any other company right now is going to be able to pay for a talent like Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
So he definitely shows up in AEW. I don't think that he goes back to the WWE. I just feel like there's too much, like right now, bad blood right there.
Well, you saw what he said.
He said, take
that shit off there.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not somebody who wants to go back. That's somebody like, fuck you. His problem that I see with Bray Wyatt, he created two characters, in my opinion, that could have been main eventers.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And they screwed him up both times because WWE doesn't know how to do subtlety. Yeah. You know, they don't know how to be like the Fiend comes out. They've got these blazing lights. And then at the bottom of the screen, it says the Fiend. And it's like, no, he's supposed to be like not part of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
He should just be like showing up and that's it. You know, not like, hey, okay, guys, you know, it's like, that's always been my problem. Like I've been reliving Sting in 1997.
Okay.
He just showed up, you know, he just fell down and that was it. You didn't know when he was coming out.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't give you like a clue. You kind of knew if you were watching the show, but you didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they need to look to for a Bray Wyatt. So I really am anxious to see what it is because he's such a creative mind. Mm-hmm. And I feel like away from Vince, you know, he'll be fine. Because he just, I think he knows how to Both those characters were amazing. But anyways, let's pivot here.
He needs the shackles off. That's the thing. Like, I remember. Yeah, for sure. I remember hearing a quote that he said back in, I believe, like 2016. This is before he was champion for the first time. I forgot what it was. Somebody asked him on an interview, like, oh, do you see yourself being a future WWE champion? And he said he doesn't want the title because it doesn't make sense for the character. He says, my character is not motivated by championship gold. And then it seems like after he won that title the first time, it's like he was chasing gold. And it was like,
and then they had that horrible match at WrestleMania with the worms on the ring.
Oh, yeah, with Orton. Yeah.
And I was just like, no, just
it doesn't make sense.
Be a fight now. Yeah. And then they had another feud with the Fiend where he burns them and then it ends up nothing. Then it's just a match.
Yeah.
And he loses. I'm like,
it was ridiculous.
That's what we wait 3 months for, this guy to come back and he just loses.
Boy, it was like, it was like 5 minutes too. It was like 5 minutes.
Oh, that was so hard. Ridiculous. All right. So now we're going to pivot a little bit to you. Like, how did your love of wrestling start?
I know. To be honest, as long as I remember, like, I was born in 94 and I have pictures of being at a live event for the WWE in Madison Square Garden from like 96. So like from,
oh wow.
Yeah. Like my parents were big wrestling fans. So they would take me, and my dad was always watching Nitro. I remember growing up, like I used to hate that shit. Like I was not a fan of WCW. So he wanted to watch Nitro. I wanted to watch Raw, and we only had one TV, and like of course, he's in control. So he's like watching Hogan, and I'm like, Stone Cold's on the other channel. Like, I want to watch Stone Cold. And he was like, fuck Stone Cold. And I'm like, but yeah, so as long as I remember, yeah.
That was the opposite for me. Like, nobody in my family watched it. It was like, you saw it in school, and you were like, that's cool. I want to watch that. Do you have a favorite era that, you know, spoke to you? I think you kind of already answered this by, you know, saying, you know, 94, but
I mean, to be honest, my favorite era was probably the, I love the Attitude Era, but it was probably the Ruthless Aggression era, like the early Ruthless Aggression, because that's when I feel like I started to really get a grasp of like what wrestling was. Like, of course, like every other kid, like it was real to me when I was younger, right? But when I really started to appreciate like the storylines and the characters, like, because if you think about it, Attitude Era, I was still only like 4 or 5, right? So when I started getting older and really started to really like dive into it, and it was like the perfect time too, because WCW went out of business. Like around that 2002 era, that roster was extremely stacked. You still had Austin, you had The Rock, you had Eddie Guerrero, you had Benoit, you had the Hardy Boys, Hogan, Flair, everybody. Like Shawn Michaels just came back. Yeah, Brock Lesnar, John Cena debuted, Randy Orton. Like it was probably my favorite time because it's like a who's who. At one point on that roster, you had John Cena, Stone Cold, Hulk Hogan, like the Mount Rushmores were all on the same roster at the same time. You just didn't know it yet because like John Cena like first started. But yeah, it was amazing. Like now looking back in hindsight, it's like that must be the most stacked roster ever.
And it's amazing that like they had all the guys from WCW. If they just were patient with their damn invasion, we could have been bringing in all these guys and had like legitimate, like, I feel like with the invasion, they missed a step by not bringing in Bischoff, because Bischoff was like, he was WCW, and every guy that would have like lined up behind him, it would have made it feel real. And then if you waited a couple of months, look, you get the NWO coming in.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they should have waited. Yeah, because if you knew that everybody, well, there was a lot of major talents that was going to like sit out that contract and wait, then why not just be patient and know that on the horizon, you have something really big coming. If I looked at the talent that we had available, like say, if I was them, if I was looking at the talent that they had available and I said, all right, compared to who we could get in the future, like if we wait 8-9 months, I'm holding off, because like, no disrespect, like I'm not going to make my main like players for the invasion, Chuck Palumbo, and you got freaking Goldberg on the other side.
Like, what was the rush? Just keep planning it out. And you could have like January Royal Rumble time. That should have been like the beginning of the invasion. Because then you'd have all the, you know, you could have them all coming in. You know, maybe during the Royal Rumble, the WCW guys just like jump them all. And you got like Bischoff at the, like the end of the stage says, you know, we're taking over.
That would be awesome. You know,
that would have been great. Instead, we got this dwindling.
Yeah, and it felt rushed. That was the problem. It felt rushed. You had ECW teaming up with WCW, and if you know the history of ECW, WCW was the enemy, not WWE. It was
They should have been their own group, like where they should have been a three-way group,
like just gang warfare between three major promotions. I don't know.
Stephanie McMahon. That was so sacrilege. That was
horrible. Horrible.
How could you like just let Paul be the guy?
And Paul was there. It's like
we didn't need the McMahons. Exactly. Oh my god.
Everything had to be the McMahon in fighting with the
McMahon in fighting. Oh my god. Ugh. Like, god, I'll give you started.
I don't understand
the
whole thing with Bischoff, because Bischoff wasn't there, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why Paul wasn't in charge of ECW if Paul is there.
Like when he came out and he like takes the headphones off and they all like turned and just beat the crap out of everybody. Like this was before they announced that. Later that night, they announced to Stephanie, and it was like, really? You guys screwed just the like, pooch on that. Dude, who were your favorites growing up?
Growing up, Shawn Michaels was definitely my favorite. Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I remember WrestleMania 14. I was so torn. And it wasn't to the point where I was like, oh, I'm excited for this match. I'm happy because it's my two favorites. It was like, I was like heartbroken. Like, why are my two favorites fighting? I don't want to. Because like I said, like at the time, like I'm only like 4 years old and it's like, I don't want them to fight. Like, and then if you remember a little before DX, Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold actually were a team for a little bit. So it was like, that was like my favorite thing in the world because it's like the two top guys, in my opinion, as like a team. But yeah, definitely Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold. I remember when Shawn Michaels came back in 2002, like I literally was crying when he came back because I thought that was
it. Awesome. And yeah, and he was just as good, you know, it was amazing. Really just
that match with Triple H was phenomenal.
That was a great man. I remember them like, because at first it was kind of like, he was just with like the NWO and it was like, he's just going to be a second. And it was like, oh no, he's going to actually wrestle. Like that's great.
He made appearances. Like he was the commissioner for a little bit.
Yeah,
he made appearances, but I never thought he'd be back in the ring.
Like, yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I heard the rumors that like, you know, he's supposed to be there at 17. He was supposed to be there at Backlash. And then it's like, but then he finally was there and it actually happened. And that was great.
That's how I feel now about this whole rumor with Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
I'm excited for that. I know it's been like for years. I remember when it was like 2011, CM Punk drops the pipe bomb, and it's like, who's Punk going to fight at WrestleMania? And everyone's like, oh, it would make sense for Stone Cold. You got anti-establishment back in the day and versus like the anti-establishment character now. So it was like, and then they had that little 2K video game sit down, and it was like, oh, is this like alluding to a possible matchup? Yeah. And then I remember when he did the Tough Enough, right? And he got physical with Miz, and people were like, oh, they're going to be Austin and Miz. But it never happened. I just thought, you know, that's just one thing we're never going to see. Like, he had a bad neck. He said that the retirement match at WrestleMania 19, he went out the perfect way. So I never thought he'd come back. But it's one of those things, professional wrestling, you never retire. You always come back.
I'm just hoping, you know, he feels good. And like Goldberg yesterday, you could see him like... He was never really a good worker to be in. He was really a power wrestler. So, I mean, when that goes, there was really nothing else he could really do. But Steve Austin's a technician. He knows how to, you know, he knows how to have a match. And I think Owens is the perfect guy because he loves Austin. I mean, look, he started doing the stunner because of his, you know, love of Austin. So, I mean, I think he's going to make sure that, like, this match lives up to something. Like, I would expect like what, maybe 10 minutes. I mean, I wouldn't go for like a 20-minute match because we don't know like what is, you know, stamina, but 10 minutes, good stuff.
It's going to be a brawl.
It's going to be great, but it's going to be great.
It's going to be bumping for him heavy. Like, it's going to be awesome just to see him back in the ring, to be honest.
Do you have him? I think they should he should be there next this Raw. Like, they need to start this build now.
I mean, the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania. So it's all like, right, at this point, let's just go. Like, I wouldn't have it as a surprise because I was reading it might be a surprise. Like, Kevin Owens just shows up and then all of a sudden you hear Austin's music hit and then they have an impromptu match. I think.
Like they did with the Cena thing where he was like calling out Taker and he's like, I want the match. I'm going as a fan. like, what are you? You're lame.
But also, like, if you remember when The Rock fought Eric Rowan for like a couple seconds, match that
they better not be there.
Like, right,
that's
now,
not a match.
Yeah, for real. right now, I feel like there's very little hype around the WWE. Like, let's get people excited. It's WrestleMania. Let's have Austin there every week, kind of promos. Like, let's get people excited.
Yeah,
that's a strong point.
You need something for Raw. Raw is just especially now at least they got Bobby Raw. Lashley.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley's hurt. I mean, so yeah. Do you have like a do you have a show that you like really enjoyed watching? Like for me, like WrestleMania 17 is like kind of always the apex of like WrestleMania 19 is another one that I was.
Those are my two favorite WrestleManias.
Everything was great.
Those were the two perfect WrestleManias in my opinion. My favorite show is ECW One Night Stand 05. Because growing up, I was also a big
good. I wanted to talk about
My father. After Raw, there would be times where it would be like a school night and like I would wake up and I'd see him watching ECW and he was like, oh, come over here, sit with me, show me all this like violent shit. Good. And like, what is this? But I fell in love
with it. And they had all those music videos and stuff. Like they like really knew how to be like, they were kind of like the MTV when MTV was cool.
They had their finger on the pulse. Yeah.
Yeah. They like, and it's... That's another one that saddens me that they just went. Is that 2005 show when Sandman came out and they played? They actually did Enter Sandman. I was just like,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's like it's real. Like when that the music came up and it was like not some fake thing. It was like they're, like they're next actually year. Using the real. Like it was it was like you went right back to 2001 and it was.
And it wasn't like they did that for everybody because like Tommy Dreamer didn't come out to Man in the Box. He had the generic WWE. Like cover song stupid. And then you had Sandman hit, which made it even better because like it was least expected. Like
and Elektra's there and he's pouring the beer on her.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Great. I mean, that was just that was such a good show. The only thing that upset me was I wanted RVD to come out to, you know, to Pantera.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Or at least or Kilgore. I don't think he did an interview saying that like because they bought ECW, so they had the rights to the Kilgore version of Walk.
Yeah.
But they gave him that song. I'm like, you mean you had the rights to that? And you didn't, I mean, like, to me, that's when I think of RVD, I think of that music.
Though on like Peacock, like if you watch like old ECW, they still don't use the Kilgore version. They have like some generic music.
Crap. And it's hard to watch it because it's like the music was so part of it, you know?
That's the thing. Like on my podcast, every Wednesday I go back and I like cover ECW Hardcore TV. And I always tell people like the show is phenomenal, but I know I'm not watching what like the actual show's potential could be. Like we have like the Sandman coming out to some just generic music. Everybody's coming out to generic music that's supposed to sound like it. Like franchise Shane Douglas is coming out to something that's supposed to sound like Deep Purple, but doesn't sound nothing like it.
New Jack, they've got something that like it's like in the it's ghetto, just a beat. It's like this beat, and it's just like that's not it. He came out to the whole song, you know.
Yeah,
Rhino coming out to that song that they used in the video game. I mean.
Yeah.
Boy, they had horrible video games, but I played them. So I was just like, I was like, oh, it's a DCW video game. And then it's like, now looking back, I was like,
games are trash. Sucked. Yeah.
They were really horrible games.
Yeah. They had a better engine, but
that's something they should have done. If WWE was smart, they would take like, you know, the previous, you know, like do an Attitude Era game or do an ECW game with like a new engine or something. Yeah. I don't know. Are you excited for the new game? You think it's going to be good?
It better deliver. The last one was trash. 2K20 was just a broken mess. Like, honestly, it was hard to play. Like, the only two WWE games that I bought and played it one time and never played it again was 2K15 and 2K20.
Those were
horrible. After 19 was so good, 2K20.
Yeah, and they went like backwards. Yeah. And like you can watch YouTube clips of them like just like falling on the floor and doing this like shake thing or whatever.
I am excited for the GM mode coming back though, because I used to love GM mode.
Here's the thing, why can't they just let us like pick who wins and loses the matches? That would be so cool. Then you could like really be like like Booker mode. I know they're Vince would never go for that, but that would be so cool if you could like
that
you
would
know,
be cool, the whole show. Because if you are trying to plan something to happen and it doesn't go that way, like, isn't the whole point of running the show, like, we all know it's fake. Right? Like, we all know
exactly.
It's determined. Like,
except for Vince. He doesn't think we know that.
Yeah, right.
What what wrestlers do you like today? We talked about the past. Who are your guys today?
There's a lot right now. AJ Styles been one of my favorites for like the last decade or two decades, I should say. Big AJ Styles fan. I remember that was just like a random find. I remember my dad watching NWA TNA, like one of the pay-per-views, like the Asylum years.
Yeah.
And like
the soapbox.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And then I was watching all these guys, and I'm like, a lot of them I was unfamiliar with. So it's like, oh, cool, Jeff Jarrett. Oh, cool. Whoever was in it at the time. And then AJ Styles came, and I was like, oh, who's this? And instantly was captivated. Like, I think the first match I seen him was him versus Raven in like 2003 or something. And it was like, no, this match is good. But so AJ Styles, he's always been a great wrestler. I mean, what can I say? Like, he's amazing, right? Right now, I'm a huge Kenny Omega fan. That's kind of cliche, though.
No, he.
I mean, right now, a couple years ago, everyone loved him. Like, I feel like people don't give him the same respect as he was getting. I think that he deserves it, though. Especially the year he had last year, because
he was hurt.
He was injured. Like, he was the champion of Impact, AAA, AEW, main eventing shows, high caliber matches. Like you said, the match with Bryan Danielson, phenomenal. Like, I was there live. It might be one of the greatest matches I've seen live.
You were at that show? Oh, wow. Yeah. I still wanted to see that show.
It was amazing.
I'm like a New Yorker, but right now when the pandemic happened, I ran down to my hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina. I was like, okay, I'm not just sitting in an apartment all day.
No, for sure.
I wish I was there for, you know,
grandly. It was unreal.
Watching it on TV, you could tell, like, the fans were so excited to finally come to New York.
Yeah,
they run a stadium show, and it was just like, that was
20,000 people. No one was sitting that whole time. That the whole match, everyone was just standing going crazy. But yeah, I mean, people don't give Kenny that like respect. The guy is going through more than one injury, multiple injuries, and still having. Yeah. And this has been years. I heard he was dealing with these injuries since New Japan. So it was like before AEW even started, he was having all these injuries and still putting on killer matches. I'm trying to think who else right now. There's a lot.
Do you watch New Japan? I love New Japan too.
Of course, Okada is the man.
So good.
Big Jay White fan. I'm glad to see him working more with promotions in the States. Last night was crazy.
He was so great to have Jay White back, because that guy, I'm sorry, he deserved a run. If we didn't have the pandemic, he would have gotten that run with the IWGP title and been the heel holding that title, because that's just made for him. I think this is going to lead to the Bullet Club invasion with Jay White and probably Adam Cole and the other guys joining the Bullet Club.
Yeah. Did you watch it last night? No Surrender.
I didn't. I read about it. I heard Morrissey lost to Moose. How was the show?
The show was phenomenal. A lot better than
really
Elimination Chamber. Like, I even put it for my notes, because I'm gonna be talking about it on the podcast. I was like, this was like a real palate cleaner before like going to bed, because like Elimination Chamber was but No Surrender.
The WWE was
good. But did you read what happened with Jay White? I don't want to spoil it if you're going to.
Yeah. I read what happened, but you know, talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. So during the Good Brothers versus the Gorillas of Destiny, you had Chris Bay come out and he was distracting the ref, and the Gorillas of Destiny thought that Chris Bay was helping them out. So they were like trying to tell Chris Bay, go to the back. We got this. So as the ref was distracted, you had Jay White come from the back. He comes into the ring and then he takes out Tamatonga. Sorry. He takes out Tamatonga, which is the Blade Runner. Afterwards, like, he basically fires them from Bullet Club and he lets the Good Brothers rejoin. So the Good Brothers are back in Bullet Club and the guy, Gorillas of Destiny are out. Craziness. It was just wild.
I think it's either the Bullet Club invasion. I think they want to do a New Japan like kind of invasion, like, so they could do Okada, Omega, you know, five.
Well, right now, there's constant shutdowns. There's a lot going on in Japan. So I feel like to keep these storylines interesting, they have to work with these other companies in the United States, and they have to have like storylines progress in the United States. Because we had a lot of like New Japan stars coming to the United States. Like, we saw the Forbidden Door stuff, but never has it really been significant for what's going on in Japan. Right now, with all the shutdowns, like, we need those storylines to progress somehow. So definitely, I think what they did in Impact last night was huge. Kicking out G.O.D. out of the Bullet Club was really
big. Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So they're setting it up. Did you go to the MSG show with New Japan and ROH?
I was supposed to go.
That was pretty good. The ROH stuff was kind of a buzzkill.
I heard that the New Japan stuff really carried that show.
Yeah, the New Japan stuff was great, but it was like you knew, like, it would have been so great if they had Kenny and Okada. Yeah. I mean Jay White's really coming to his own now, but at that time, like, he was kind of
still fresh,
still kind of trying to figure it out. So, all right, I interrupted you there. So you said Omega.
Omega. Really big on what Malakai Black is doing right now. Yeah. I'm really excited to see if Buddy Matthews is going to be the next member of the House of Black.
I think that's perfect. That's a perfect pick.
Especially they have history with each other, right? Especially with their matches in WWE. But I'm a huge Buddy Matthews fan.
He got screwed with.
I'm trying to think of like WWE guys also, because like I don't want to make it too AEW friendly, but
just really Roman. Lesnar and like what, AJ Styles? That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, after AJ Styles, right now it's like
Nakamura just feels like such a wasted. I mean, when you think of what he did in New Japan and you look at him now, it's just like
I never want to see someone get fired, but. I want to see Nakamura out of that roster doing things with New Japan again. I'd like to see
Cesaro fired. He could get the hell out of there.
So much talent that they are not. I don't know. Like, where do you miss that? Like, they're just dropping the ball. Like, how do you not book a Cesaro to be a monster? Like, how do you not book Nakamura to be this international like superstar?
Vince doesn't know who they are.
That's the problem. I was watching an interview with Francine from ECW, and Vince was saying that, all right, tell me a little bit about yourself. And Francine was saying, this is in like 2006 when they brought back ECW.
I thought you like what new.
Yeah, you own our video library. Shouldn't you know who's on your roster? And she said that Vince said, I don't watch that shit. I have people to watch that for me. So Vince doesn't know. Yeah, Vince doesn't know anybody who's coming from like the indies or anything international. That's why, like, I know right now it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but I really was having hope that Triple H was going to have more booking power on like the main shows, because he would see more of a difference.
He's been neutered to it's unbelievable.
It's sad, yeah.
Fired his own son, and he. Probably, it wouldn't shock me if he fired Triple H at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Fired all the guys that were like his guys? I mean, the only guy that I think that still works there that was kind of like a Triple H guy was like Brian Kane, but you know, he's got tenure there.
Shawn Michaels, maybe.
Shawn Michaels. Although Shawn Michaels, they pretty much were like, you're going to have his job.
I think it's all setting up a sale. To be honest, I have been saying that for a year. I think WWE is definitely going to be selling, whether it's the NBC Universal or I still say probably Disney, you know, like
still feel like it'll be like Vince still controlling everything. So it really won't matter. It'll be like Dana White when
Vince is going to be controlling it from the grave 15 years from now. Like
he set up a thing. Oh, years from the grave. I'm still going to be booking here. And all right. You're
going to have like a 10-year booking. And he's going to be like, look, when I die, you have to follow this regardless. Like,
Roman could never lose for like 40 years.
He's going to have like a Bruno Sammartino run with the title.
That's what it feels like. Is that the plan? Like, you know, it's always upset me that he had that run. Let's go after that. It's like, oh my God.
Which I don't get, you know, it's funny. People look at Bruno Sammartino and like all due respect, like it was a different day. Like back in the day, I was seeing that Bruno Sammartino would have like two defenses a year. So when you talk about like a 20-year run, a 20-year run, it's like, how is that measurable to what the wrestlers are doing today? So like when they say, like even yesterday when Roman came out, they were talking about the top like title reigns, and they brought up Bruno Sammartino's title reign. It's like, that's a different day. Like it's like bringing up the steroid era for baseball and talking about, oh, well, the home runs comparison. It's like, it's not the same. Like,
I could see them being so petty though, being like, well, you know, we want to get that record off. So Roman, you're going to hold it for 20 years.
Dark ages.
Yeah. It'll just be like, yeah, barely be able to move. He's still got the damn belt. Do you feel wrestling can ever get back to where it was in the 80s and the 90s? Or do you think we've...
I think it's better than what it is in the 80s and the 90s, because never before was so many companies so accessible. Yeah. Back in the day, if you didn't like WWF, then you watched WCW. If you didn't like WCW, you watched ECW. If you didn't like ECW, then you're done. You're not a wrestling fan. You know what I mean? You're not going to watch wrestling, because that's like the three most viable or most like accessible promotions. Nowadays, if you don't like WWE, you watch AEW. If you don't like AEW, go watch Impact, go watch NWA, MLW, yeah. Fight TV has everybody, GCW, like New Japan.
GCW really is coming into their own. They've been doing, to me, they feel like ECW.
Yeah.
They really feel like the ECW and what Ring of Honor used to be.
Yeah. Which is, sad. Like Ring of Honor, I was a huge diehard Ring of Honor fan. It's sad what's going on. You know, it's coming back. They have a show booked for April, but
have you seen their over the top service? Their on demand.
Oh my god,
it's the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, it's worse than Peacock.
Here's the thing: if you have a service, then you better have your full video library on there, because there's not much you have on there. At least WWE Impact Wrestling, they have other promotions on there, right? So if all you have is your video library, how do you not have every single show you ever ran? Like, I know it's a lot to like convert.
You have to take whatever, all the music off, yeah.
Yeah, but still, it's like, come on. Like how do you not have both of your shows?
They have Death Before Dishonor, they have like the clip with Punk versus, you know, Austin, but they cut out the part where, you know, after, you know, he cuts the promo and then Christopher Daniels comes out. And I'm like, you missed the whole point of the Summer of Punk. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This is lame.
It seemed like it was a cheap ass attempt just to have a video library, like, or a video on demand service, just like every other company was doing. Like, now they're doing a Hall of Fame, like, That's cool, but you basically killed the company. Like, Hall of Fame of what? Like, the company's pretty much dead.
It's a plaque.
Yeah, like.
I'm hoping AEW will, you know, AEW, when they do their over the top, will get that library and put it on there, because that would be, there's such great matches, so many great things, and like, somebody that like would clean it up and maybe put some of the music, I mean, they already got, you know, Punk's music, put that on there, you know?
There's a strong connection. I mean, if there was no Ring of Honor, there's no AEW. If you think about it, like, the whole All In show was funded by Ring of Honor. The whole tweet that was to Dave Meltzer was, can you see Ring of Honor filling up a, whatever, 15,000 seat arena, whatever the tweet was. It wasn't about just these wrestlers. Cody took that bet, but it was Cody and Ring of Honor that had All In. All In stems, and then it grows into something bigger. It's AEW now. There's no Ring of Honor.
I'm getting sick of Chicago getting every single thing that AEW does. I mean, come on, man. Give New York, you know.
New York really showed. Sure. Yeah. I feel like after Grand Slam, AEW had to realize that New York is clamoring right now for AEW.
Also, they're doing the Owen Hart tournament. That's got to be, you got to do that in Canada. They got to go get to, you know, Toronto or one of those places and do.
They're waiting a long time to do that shit too. I don't know why they announced it like 4 months ago. And it's like, in May we're doing this. Like,
I mean, you gotta have like, hopefully Brett is gonna be, be there, and the family, and I would put Davey Boy Smith Jr. in there. You know,
yeah, he's a free agent now. So
yeah, get him. Like, it needs to be like somebody related to the Hearts needs to win that thing. Yeah. So that Natalya, I know she works for WWE, but they don't do anything with them.
They're not bringing in Teddy. They're not bringing in Teddy.
They're not doing that. So we talked a little bit about this. So you obviously play the wrestling video games. Do you have like a favorite one that you like? Or?
I know a lot of people say No Mercy, but my favorite is Here Comes the Pain.
Really?
Yeah, I love Here Comes the Pain. The roster was stacked.
It was.
I feel like
was
the, a great the, game. The engine was
first
just,
time blood. First time we had blood in a WWE game. Well, in a long time since like the Attitude Era games.
It was a really good game. It was sad that we didn't have voiceovers yet, like the story mode, you're just like reading everything, but still, I mean,
I kind of feel like that was a blessing. Some of those voiceovers you had to hear
early days was bad.
They sounded like they had a cup of coffee and they're just reading from a script. Like there was like no acting involved. It's like you got JR going. It's like, this doesn't sound like JR. What he's like really excited. This sounds like JR. Like you pulled him on a day. Hey, you want to record some lines?
Oh God, I guess. Goddamn.
Yeah, it was just you know.
I remember the credits. Remember the John Cena Easter egg at the end of the credits? Like you had But no, I definitely like Here Comes the Pain. I also was a big fan of I think it was 2K14.
That was a good game.
The one with the attitude error, like callback, and they like had the story mode with the attitude error, and you had a bunch of attitude error roster members. That's like the closest we got to an attitude error game.
Oh, you mean 16? Where Austin was like on the cover of it? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I forgot if it was 14 or 16, but yeah.
Yeah. Although 14 was pretty good. That was like the last of the old generation, you know, ones, but like it kind of. I don't understand why they can't give us like I always loved in No Mercy. We had the backstage and in Here Comes the Pain. You could go backstage and it was not just one place. You could go all over the place, the arena. And that was like, why is that gone? Why did you take that? Why would you take something away that like everybody loved?
The best was Shut Your Mouth. Like you could go backstage, you go into the train stations, go to New York. Like it was crazy. Like that was awesome.
And it's like they took that out. I was like, no, keep adding to the good things. Don't like
I never knew why things were taken out, especially things that were hits like
Inferno match. Uh-oh. What?
I'm so sorry, dude.
It's no problem. All right, so we were talking about the games, So like, last question: what would you like to see them do? Like what?
I think personally, if you had more customization, like you said, like book it, like it's. Like if you had like the My GM where you could actually like book the finish of the match, like that would be awesome. We're at a point where there's so many games that you could fully customize. Like WWE games are just, it feels like so like left behind sometimes. Yeah.
It's like from a, like, here's my problem. Okay. It doesn't matter who you pick really. They all kind of wrestle the same. They don't really, like nobody really feels like the actual guy.
Yeah,
they
for
just,
real.
They just feel like, you know, they've. It feels like they're still following like a fighting game, you know, following.
It's ridiculous because, like I said, like this is not like the first time they're running a game. This is not the. They've been doing this for years, but they took over like that sports game type feel where it has to come out every year. So there's very little updates. They just have to make sure that they get a yearly release, but. I actually like that they actually took a couple years off for this one to actually add to it and make sure that the game is actually up to par. But yeah, I mean,
is it going to be?
I don't know. I'm not even really impressed by the trailers. Like people are impressed.
It looks the same.
Oh, it looks like the same game.
Same grab. The same like, animation. The same
new fighting engine. Like there's no new fighting engine.
Stilted feel. They always feel like they're like. Wrestling on stilts, you know, like they're not fluid.
Intuitive. That's why I'm excited for the AEW video game because it does look like it's a little bit more fluid. It looks
supposed
like it's
the No Mercy engine.
Yeah,
which is great.
That would be awesome if they could pull it off.
It's like when he showed that, like they got the guy who created that. I'm like, I don't know why we ever walked away from that guy. They figured it out. I mean. I don't know what happened after Here Comes the Pain. It was like SmackDown versus Raw. It didn't feel as good. SmackDown versus Raw 2006 was pretty good. I liked that game. Yeah. That was you had it for the PSP as well, and that was kind of cool. but it's
the PSP releases were never as good as because I had the PSP and I couldn't wait for a handheld WWE game. They were never as good.
No, it wasn't as good, but it was for the time. It wasn't too bad. I mean, like it actually kind of felt like it, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like they've just been going downward over and over again. Yeah. It's like I'm waiting for the game that like really a fan wants to play. I don't know. It sounds like the AEW game. They took a lot of the feedback that people have been listening to and like, yeah, we're gonna try and make that game, you know.
Yeah.
And like you said, a new engine. It's like this looks like the same engine. It does not feel like it's an old, like a brand new engine. They just,
even though that's what they're pushing in the trailer. Oh, new fighting engine. It's like, doesn't seem it. It looks the same. Yeah.
It's the same crap.
We shall see. But I don't, my expectations are not so high for it.
No, me either. All right. So we're about to wrap up here, but what movies do you like? I'm curious. I'm trying to get a little bit of feel for the person here. Yeah. So, you know.
Favorite movie right now, well, of all time, is Pulp Fiction. I love Pulp
Fiction.
Really?
I love Pulp Fiction. Yeah. I just watched that.
Great movie.
Such a good movie.
Still holds up. No matter how many times I watch it, still holds up. You ever seen The Warriors?
Yeah, yeah. The one that they did the video game off of.
Yeah,
That was so
cool. That's such a great movie.
What's his name? Proud and Powerful. They came out wearing the Baseball Fury.
Oh, yeah, the Baseball Fury
stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like,
there's so many people I bring that movie up and people don't even know what it is. So
I love that movie.
Great movie.
So cool.
Yeah.
Scarface, it shows New York in like the 70s. Like there's only so many movies that have that, like that. Like this was a gritty place. Times Square was not a place.
That's what I tell people all the time. People think that New York is all like glitz and glamour. I'm like,
it was like, it wasn't then. It was, it was a dangerous place.
It's a dangerous place now.
Really? Yeah. You think so? Yeah.
I mean, it's not as bad, but like honestly, there is a lot of places like that are still really rough. But yeah,
no, I love The Warriors though. That's such a good movie. Did you play the game?
Oh, I love the game. I love how
that was great.
I love how the game was like a prequel. Like I went into it thinking that it was just going to like be a movie play out, but no, it was a prequel. You had like 3 months before the meeting. It was dope. I love that game.
It's sad to me to see what like Rockstar has become, like that re-release they did where it's just like,
the Rockstar trilogy for Grand Theft Auto.
Well, yeah, and then they had all these bugs and everything, and I'm just like,
yeah,
what? You guys were the guys that like took a game like The Warriors, which could have just been this copy and paste fighting game, and instead they came up with all these cool ideas and everything. Are you,
you hear noise in the background?
It's like you're doing it outside. Yeah. Are you a Marvel guy? Do you like Marvel movies?
I like Marvel, but I'm a bigger DC fan.
Okay. So have you seen The Peacemaker yet?
Yeah.
It's
pretty good.
They used John Cena better than WWE ever used him.
I was never a big fan of John Cena's acting, but like to be honest, like this is the first time where I'm like, it's pretty funny, like it's good.
Yeah, I couldn't stand John Cena. Like when I think of John Cena, I think of the era where it was just like it was his belt and nothing mattered. It was just his title. You beat him, but it really didn't matter because he was just gonna get it back.
When I think of John Cena, I think of TNA because John Cena is what drove me out of WWE and checked out TNA more.
Same.
Yeah, I was like,
Same here. All right. And then the last thing I'm going to ask is, it's kind of a stretch, but I'm bringing, the new age in here. What do you do to relax? Do you meditate? What do you do?
Not often. I want to meditate more. That's something that I've been actually like looking up, like, meditation.
I can give you a meditation that you can do like in 5 minutes and it will give you everything. Yeah. I'll give it to you. I'll link it to you on the thing. This is something I wanted to bring is I'm like, people don't realize it. Like there's a lot of meditations out there. Yeah. 5 minutes. And it's like a 6-phase thing. It's free. You can do it. And it's
definitely,
it's
awesome. I would be very interested.
All right. We got that. Thank you for doing this. This is great.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome. Like I said, I apologize for this building sucks. Ever since I moved in here, this is like the third time I lost power. But
hey, I lived in New York. I know how it is. You're just sitting there. You put the blow dryer in, and then all of a sudden the whole lights go out, and it's like you got to go to the circuit board and click the things up, you know. So I know what it's like. Oh shit. No, we lost them again. No. I'm gonna take a screenshot of this. Are you there?
This is ridiculous.
I got a picture of the screenshot of you where you just have your mouth open.
And I'm so sorry. This is ridiculous.
No, dude.
We're gonna have to do this again. When
this was great though.
This was awesome. Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
We're at the end here. But yeah, I just want to say thank you for coming on. You know, thank plug your stuff. How can people reach you?
Wrestling DeLorean podcast is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can follow on Instagram at Wrestling DeLorean Pod, Twitter at @W_DeLorean Pod. I got a TikTok. I don't really post much on TikTok, but you know, it's what everyone's doing. So I got a little TikTok, Wrestling DeLorean Pod on that. But yeah, check out the show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
All right. Thank you.
All right, that about does it. I want to thank at the Wrestling DeLorean podcast for coming on. I really appreciate it. Sorry for the technical difficulties. That can happen. You know, there's nothing we can really do about it. But I want to thank him for coming on. And yeah, check out his podcast at the Wrestling DeLorean podcast. And as always, the truth shall set you free.